Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. Trade it, sell it, they want it. Go online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com, click on the Sell to Us tab, and get a serious cash offer for your bike. Worth Harley Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport, or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Everyone's saying that's... It's like we finally click. I think we've been clicking. It's just been certain things, turnovers, penalties, all self-inflicted stuff. I think we've been clicking all year. We just, you know, got to eliminate some of the negative plays and the things that happened throughout the game that hurt the offense and hurt the team in general.
It's not about your size. It's about the size of your heart. And the reality is that you know, Kansas City obviously has the stadium. Has, you know, a region that is crazy about the game. And if you look at other World Cups in the past, you know, not every venue has been, you know, a major world capital city.
And now, hoping to bring the World Cup to Kansas City and fill that cup with nacho cheese, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. All choked up.
Why wouldn't you be?
Well, I'm actually pretty fired up. I think the World Cup coming here would be maybe the greatest thing in the history of the city. And I'd be like, what are you going to talk? What event, other than the city being formed, what other global event has ever taken place in Kansas City?
Yeah, the closest you could say would be the World Series. And that's not a global event like the World Cup. It just isn't. It is in this, maybe in this country to some people, but nothing outranks the World Cup.
Wasn't one of the political conventions here?
76 Republican National Convention.
So half the country at best, or a little more than half. I don't know where it was. 60%. I figure there's a bunch of us independents, right? It can't be more than 50.
Probably fewer independents then, but at the most 50%.
So that was a 50% of the nation.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was also 45 years ago.
Yeah.
The globe. The lifetime of most people who live in the city, it would easily be the biggest event to be held here.
Yes. I love hearing what was said there, that, you know, it's not just, you know, we've heard Cliff Illig describe it as punching above the city's weight in trying to get this, that's really what we're trying to do, that we're going to have to go above and beyond as a city. And I know certainly Sporting Kansas City and Cliff Illig, his family, really all of them, and the soccer community has been doing it. But I think the entire town has to get behind it, and I think is getting behind it, has been behind it. And it's Judgment Day, right? They're coming around, taking the final look. It's an incredible day, a global event descending upon your town. Like I said, I think it'd be the biggest thing that's ever happened to Kansas City. The biggest thing ever. And what a day that we've got them in town now, taking a look-see at what it would be like for Kansas City. And we've got the U.S. Women's National Team tonight. This is a big deal. I am going to be racing out of here to get to the match. And think about this. Also, if you're going, go early. Parking is going to be more difficult because NASCAR's got a playoff race here. Right? Like, I think as a town, we've got a Super Bowl champion team in the last, 6 years, we've got a Super Bowl championship team. We've got a World Series championship team. We have NASCAR playoffs that go on now every October here at the Speedway. We've got, what do we have to go back to? Is it 13 was the sport?
MLS Cup. Yep.
So if we go back 8, we've got an MLS Cup champion here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in this town. And I think we consistently punch above our weight because whatever we are as a city, we perform better than that number.
Yeah.
Please don't forget the fact that we also have the Big 12 tournament here, which we are great ambassadors for.
Yeah, I agree. A regional event that everybody descends upon and absolutely loves. Right? I mean, be like, it's in a state that doesn't even have a team in the league and nobody minds.
Yeah.
Nobody minds.
And by the way,
that has to do with a state line running through the middle of our town. But I think it does. I mean, I think Kansas City will do a fantastic job if, and I hope I'm here to say when, the World Cup arrives. I think we'll do a phenomenal job.
Yes.
And I liked what I was hearing there about, hey, it's not just about the size of the town. We've seen what the Big 12 tournament was in Dallas. Irrelevant. They didn't care. The basketball tournament was down there, and it wasn't a major event for them. I know that the World Cup is a much bigger event than the Big 12 basketball tournament. However, I do think, like, for a New York, are they going to New York? Yes, they're going to play in New York. I got it. But the bigger the town you go, the less of a big deal it is.
Yes.
There are more big events. And maybe one day we'll say that. I don't think any of us want to see Kansas City, at least I don't, want to see it grow to being a top 10 market population-wise. I don't want all the traffic and congestion and all the crap that comes with that. But if we could have top 10 market events in our number 30 market town, that's the ultimate. I think that's what we do. And I think when we put on an event, people come here for the AFC Championship game. All my friends that come in town for that just rave about how great it is to come to Kansas City, how they love the event in Kansas City. You know, there are other towns that do a good job like that. Like New Orleans is a town that does a fantastic job putting on a good event, right? But it's kind of party town USA.
Mm-hmm.
This is a town that does a fantastic job putting on events, has done a phenomenal job of supporting soccer, and I think it would be fantastic. By the way, I mentioned the women's national soccer team. They're in KC tonight taking on Korea. The match kicks off at 7 o'clock. Get family and friends, head over to Children's Mercy Park to see your favorite U.S. women's national team players in action. The best team in the world will be on the pitch for the women's national team. Carly Lloyd's final game for the U.S. women's national team in Kansas City. So a chance to see true history. Come out and watch the match tonight. Celebrate her legendary career. If you want to grab some tickets, there are a few left. Get them. I got some tickets just recently. I got mine from Tickets for Less. Love to our friends over at Tickets for Less. But tickets for USA versus Korea are on sale right now and available at ussoccer.com. If you got a daughter and you're not grabbing her and going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
as soon as you said that, it's like she's going to have so much fun tonight. This will be a night she won't ever forget. And by the way, the clip that we heard a little bit of in the open, we'll hear more of that. We'll hear that entire clip when Nate Bucati joins us later this hour. That was not a small voice. That was Victor Montagliani, who is the president of CONCACAF and a member of the FIFA Council, on stage down at P&L. So that's not just a soccer fan saying that. That's that's a guy who has. That's a heavy hitter.
It's a heavy hitter.
That's a very large broom, as they say.
Yeah.
That was great to hear.
It is. And I really hope everybody gets a chance. Like I said, there are actually, I don't know if they were held back, but there are some really good seats,
mm-hmm.
right? There are lots of sections that are completely sold out as well. But if you want to go, ussoccer.com, that's where you can get tickets directly, ussoccer.com. It should be a great event. I can't wait. Going to be a beautiful night, a little bit crisp. But going to be a beautiful night. I encourage everybody to come on out. And I know how much time, energy, and effort Sporting Kansas City and the soccer community have put into today. It's a major day to have, you know, these people here taking a look at our city. That in and of itself is a win. Let's finish it off with a win. I certainly hope that this is going to, you know, finish up. I don't think you just want to take the eight towns that we're going to have here? I can't remember what it is, seven, nine, because I know we're dividing it up with Mexico and Canada,
right.
And I forget the number. But I think Kansas City should be in that mix because it gives a great flavor to what the United States is, to all parts of the United States, and I think it would be fantastic, and I'm looking forward to it. Nobody will appreciate, savor, and throw everything they got into this event like Kansas City will. We know what we do when we have a big event. We know how the Big 12 tournament takes over the town. Chiefs games take over the town. NASCAR races, a playoff race out of NASCAR, is always a giant event. We love our sports. We love our teams. And a chance to shine on the world stage. I will love it and savor it. I cannot wait. And when we get it, which I'm hoping we do not miss it. Do not miss it. You've got history happening tonight over at Children's Mercy Park. Go see it tonight. You can grab your tickets. USsoccer.com. A giant day today in the history of Kansas City and a chance to have the biggest thing that's ever happened in this town, a global event descending upon your city. The seeds are being planted as we speak right now. We'll take a break. We got a lot to get to here in the program. We'll get to Blair Kirkhoff. We'll get to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. We'll get our program picks, play Stump the Chumps. Coming up next hour, Jeff Passan talking baseball. After that, Nate Buchady giving us an update on where things are with the World Cup showcase that's going on today. We'll talk to the voice of Sporting Kansas City, great friend of the program, Nate Buchady. Coming up in a little bit, Jeff Passan joins us next.
The program with Soren Petro.
Well, spank my ass and call me Charlie. Isn't this exciting?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Husband, father, Elmo impersonator.
Yeah!
He wrote The Arm and is currently writing its follow-up, The Leg. He has everyone's phone number, even yours. He's MLB insider Jeff Passan of ESPN. Only on the program.
Jeff Passan of ESPN is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at the Legends Auto Plaza on the southeast corner of 435 and Parallel, or online at victorymotorskc.com, where our first price is better than their last.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some baseball. Jeff Passan, ESPN Senior Major League Baseball Insider, is with us. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I am great, Soren. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Better than Dave Roberts is right now.
Yeesh.
What is the view of using his starting pitchers as relievers to have them then come out and either end up with a dead arm like Max Scherzer, or just be, as what the announcers were calling last night on Julio Urias, not crisp, doesn't have that pop that he usually has? And I'm not sure why the broadcast didn't go ahead and connect the dots of, because he just was pitching a couple of days ago in relief. What's the fallout from this?
I think it's a hard thing to adjudicate because it's worked in the past. Now, they haven't been this aggressive in the past, and I think the aggression is probably coming back to bite them. I don't mind the idea fundamentally of using starters on throw days. You just have to understand that a throw day, a bullpen, is a whole lot different than a high leverage playoff. And that these guys are going out there knowing that one bad pitch, especially in a close game, could end up blowing a playoff game for you. So the notion that they're going to treat those two things the same is a false equivalency. They're not anything close to the same. Now, we've seen Julio Urias be flexible in the past. Remember, this was a guy who started last season and in the playoffs sort of turned into an old school fireman. I mean, the last game of the season, the World Series clinching game, he got the last nine outs. So he's capable of doing that. We saw Max Scherzer close down the Giant series in pretty spectacular fashion. But when you do things like this, it is bound to have consequences. And the consequence right now for the Los Angeles Dodgers is they're down 3-1, and their season could be over tonight.
Yes, and I think it is interesting because we've seen, you know, Madison Bumgarner was really, you know, even before that, Randy Johnson coming in and closing out a series for the Diamondbacks. Bumgarner was the one where it's like, okay, we're gonna just throw him out here and we're going for it. Here it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's not on uncharted territory. My question is this where analytics has finally hit their wall, right? Like the numbers.
I don't know that it's hit the wall. I think that we're just seeing this, seeing it this aggressively, Soren, for the first time. And I'm not going to sit here and judge something. And I know I'm going to sound very analytical when I say this. I'm not going to sit here and judge something with that small of a sample to declare it good or bad. If this was working, I think the Dodgers would be getting tons of praise and, people would be suggesting that all teams do this. No, I think you need the right kind of scenario. And what you really need is true, like, sodium pentothal for pitchers. Because when you go to them and say, I want you to do this, how many guys are actually going to turn down that? If the manager wants it, if the president of baseball operations wants it, if the analysts want it, if the scouts say it's okay. I mean, how many guys have the gumption to say, no, you know what, I'm cool. This whole plan that you drew up and came up with and think is going to work, I don't. And I'm a ball player, and I know this, as opposed to you guys who are not. So listen to me. It's hard for anyone, I think, to say that. Even a veteran pitcher, someone who's been around for a long time. I mean, the hallmark of great pitchers is they want the ball, right? And if you're going to them and saying, this is how you're going to get the ball, it's a very difficult thing for them to turn down.
I think, and let's stay with the truth serum part, and we'll come back. I'll double back to the analytics part. That is a flaw in the culture of the game, right? The culture of the game is the pitcher is supposed to say he's always got another batter or another inning or another appearance.
Yep.
They've got to get away from that because, like, okay, you look at the catcher goes, he doesn't have it. Well, that's great when you're up on the bump. Right. And it's tolerable when it's during the course of the regular season marathon where you kind of pre-plan who's available that night anyway. But when you get to the postseason, it's all hands on deck. And if you can go, you go. But you and maybe during the regular season, you can even afford to deal with the tough guy who goes out there and tries to make it go, screws you. And you lose that game because you've got time to come back from it. There's no time to
that's
come
exactly
back in the postseason.
So 100% correct.
This is the culture working against itself, is it not?
Yeah, and I don't see that changing at lower levels, honestly, because, frankly, there just aren't enough good pitchers typically on whether it's a youth team, whether it's a travel team, whether it's a high school team, whether it's a college team to go around. Typically speaking, you're going to have one or two, or if you're lucky, three really good pitchers. And those are going to be the guys who are expected to eat the vast majority of the innings. And because of that, it gets ingrained at you at a young age that, hey, you better do this. This is part of the job. And if you can't do it, then, you know, if you can go only three innings, then you're going to limit yourself significantly.
We're talking to Jeff Passan here in the program. The analytics, where I said the analytics hitting a wall, it's not to say that they're gone, they're done, they're trash, but there is a, you know, a point to where,
yes.
You know.
I know what you're saying. There's a point where it's law of diminishing returns, right?
Well, it's like, not, the way Curtis and I have put it is like for this is for old nerds, right? You have to be both. Stratomatic baseball, right? Like you set the car down and the pitcher's ERA is 227, so you roll the 227 dice and he's always going to perform at a 227 level. A running back does not get you 4.2 yards on every carry. A 1,600-yard running back doesn't rush for 100 yards every game. And, you don't know what you're going to get. So the idea that, okay, hey, we've never used these starters in these situations before. We've been leaving, you know, bullets on the shelf. Yeah, that's reality. And I think they're right to go get them. But I think the other part is, it now changes everything. Like the thing I talk about with the analytics guys, like I'm good buddies with the Pro Football Focus guys. And I always kind of debate with them. I'm like, that's the data based on what's happened. But when we change how we do things, the data now has new variables. And so you have to be ready to adjust on the fly. Once you've changed the input, you got to be ready to read the output. You don't get to sit around and wait for the large sample size. That's where the human element has to come in, and you've got to act quickly. And I don't know that the Dodgers, or really even the entire industry right now, is able to do that.
Well, let's remember this, though. I mean, the Dodgers started Corey Knebel in a very important playoff game, and the idea that they were going with an opener instead of Julio Urias pissed a lot of people off, frankly. They saw that, and they're like, if he's pitching in this game and he's a starter, why don't you just start him? It worked that game, and you know what? They got praised for it. But that's why, I think, because we praise them when it works, we can also criticize them when it doesn't. And I understand. I am as staunch a proponent of process over outcome as anyone. But the problem with process over outcome in a short series is that you don't have time for things to even out. Like, process over outcome is a long-term proposition. It's when you have a large sample and you figure that things are going to be a net positive in the long run. But I'm sorry, in a playoff series, you don't have the long run. So if you don't have proof of concept on this thing yet, now isn't exactly the time necessarily that you want to be trying it out.
We're talking with Jeff Passan here in the program. Is there anything we need to be commending the Braves for, or is this just proving Billy Beane's theory that the postseason is all luck? I don't subscribe. I subscribe to a degree on that, but I think there are things that the A's and Rays perhaps are missing. But you know, why the Braves, who went to 14 straight playoffs, only made 3 World Series, only won one of them.
Yeah.
And now when they're decimated by injuries and we're left for dead at around 500, what, almost 2/3 of the way through the season, are they now on the brink of going back to the World Series with a team that really, I don't think even anybody in Atlanta thought this was the one that was going to get them back?
Let's put it this way. The Braves had a 3-1 lead against the Dodgers last year, too. And we all know who's wearing that big shiny diamond ring now. It's not the Atlanta Braves. At the same time, they're facing a Dodgers team in Game 5, a potential clincher that's going with the bullpen game. And the bullpen game may work, and it may get the Dodgers right back into the series, but they need to win a bullpen game and then win 2 games on the road. So the odds are stacked very high against the Dodgers at this point. I think if we need to commend the Braves, it's on the incremental additions that Alex Anthopoulos, the president of baseball operations, made at the trade deadline. And one of them is a very familiar name to us. You know, I don't know that Eddie Rosario, who's having the series of his life right now, is even playing if Jorge Soler doesn't come down with COVID and have to miss essentially the entire series. Soler was leading off. Soler was playing left field. And when you add Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, Jock Peterson and Adam Duvall at the trade deadline for a bunch of guys who are either low-level, very high-risk, unlikely to pan out prospects, or just straight-up non-prospects, or in the case of Eddie Rosario, just cash money, and you get this kind of production out of them. You know, batting, I tweeted this yesterday, I think they're batting .341, on-base percentage of .400, and a slugging percentage is something like .593, over 101 plate appearances. They've got 8 home runs and 21 runs batted in combined. They have been remarkable. And to get all of that when the Dodgers are going out and giving up Tabert Ruiz and, you know, giving up Josiah Gray to rent Max Scherzer and get Trey Turner for a year and a third, I mean, that's good general managing right there. That's going out, understanding what your weakness is, not spending a whole lot to get it, but completely overhauling your team over the course of a few days and putting yourself on the brink of a World Series.
Yeah, it has been impressive, to say the very least. Let's switch gears to the Astros and the Red Sox. Houston, the great villain, in position now, is there.
Are they, Seren, are they the great villain?
They are in a lot of people's minds. We did a poll about like who are you rooting for, Astros or Red Sox, and they're both villains, I think, in the eyes of Royals fans. And it was overwhelming that the Astros were. I think it's silly.
What do you think? I'm curious to your thoughts on.
Well, listen, you know, I've kind of been alone on an island on my thoughts about the sign stealing. I think everybody.
Yeah, you didn't think it was a big deal.
No,
right?
I think everybody cheats, and the Astros were just good at it, and that pisses everybody off. You know, they didn't cheat as well.
I want to tease this out a little bit. Do you really believe that banging on a trash can to send signs like all game long is the same thing as like trying to pick a sign from second base?
I don't. And, you know, using, you know, technology advances. No, I don't think it's the same. Again, I'll say I never went to the extra. I didn't have the same venom. I didn't think it was as big a deal as everybody else. Do I think it's a
right?
Yes. Do I think it's punishable? Yes. What I don't like is, to me, this is just an extension of the unwritten rules of baseball that seem to, you know, be okay with a little bit of stuff, but then everybody's
right.
Got their own idea on what the limit is, right? You can steal second in a tie game, trailing up 1-2, but I don't know about 3, 4, 5. Like, where's that line? And to me, when you allow certain things, you allow signaling, right? You can signal out to you know, people. You know, to me, this is a blurry line that did it get crossed? Yes. But by how far? I don't think near as far as other people's did. And I think everybody would be celebrating their team this way, same way the Astros fans have. And I think if anything, it's, you know, circle the wagons with their fan base about us against the
very
world,
much so.
Which is always a good thing to have. And so I think it's having a bit of a negative impact for the rest of the game, because I think that organization came together at that city and the fan base came together. But no, I don't have the same venom. I think they did what everyone else has done, and we get pissed off when somebody gets really good at it. And then we clutch our pearls and scream and yell.
Well, Seren, as somebody who has been a constant target of that engaged Astros fan base, I can tell you if you were in my position, you might feel a little bit differently. But I try the best I can to separate what happened in 2017 from what's happening in 2021. And what's happening in 2021 is that the Houston Astros lineup is murderous. And over the course of the last two games, they have gone out on a crime spree against Boston Red Sox pitching. And I'll be honest, I thought the series was done after game three. I thought it was done because I had no faith in Houston starting pitchers. And Zach Greinke didn't go out and, you know, gain much faith in game four, but they somehow came back and managed to drop a seventh spot in the ninth inning. They were aided by a bad ball strike ball, but the reality is they took advantage of it. And that sort of thing is going to happen sometimes. And last night, Framber Valdez, aside from Logan Webb, early in, I think it was game one of the NLDS, it was the best start of the postseason that I saw. He was awesome. And the Red Sox simply had no answer. It's going to be interesting, though. You remember back in 2018, I know it's a different team. I know it was a 108-win team with the Red Sox that year, but they went down to Houston for the middle games of that series and ended up clinching by winning two in Houston. So, stranger things have happened before, and I will be there, and I'm very much looking forward to game six.
How much does Dusty Baker deserve some credit? I know he's been on a lot of successful teams, but there was a lot of people thought he was square peg and round hole. I mean, this was an analytics-driven team, and Dusty Baker had been dinged for being anything but. Why has this worked so well, seemingly?
I think the biggest advantage that Dusty Baker has brought is that he, you know, he knows how to handle the bad stuff well. Like when your players are getting booed everywhere, he can put a good face on it. When Ryan Pressly comes out in the middle of that division series against the White Sox and says, "Oh, they don't hit so well at home," Dusty's response is, "I'd never even heard of you," which was hilarious and awesome and way better than whatever Ryan Pressly said. So, or no, not Ryan Pressly. I'm sorry. Who was it? Ryan Tapera.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ryan Pressly. Ryan Tapera is the one who said it. I'm not going to sit here and say that Dusty Baker has suddenly embraced analytics full throat, because I don't think that would be true. What I will say is that he has done the job. Just like in a lot of ways, Tony La Russa did the job this year. He just didn't do a good enough job. And, you know, I wonder if under someone like A.J. Hinch, this team would have been even better than they were. And I think the answer is probably yes. But they are one game away, one win away from going to the World Series. And unless the Dodgers make a really good comeback, I think the Astros are going to be pretty strong favorites going into that series.
Jeff, I do want to hit some news. The Yankees are blowing out the entire coaching staff, yet extending Aaron Boone. Or at least coaches are leaving, figure out what it is. Can this possibly be a healthy environment, or is this exactly what they needed?
I think it can be a healthy environment. I think that the Yankees believe in Aaron Boone. I think Aaron Boone's got room to grow still. You know, he's been on the job long enough now where we need to be seeing the best version of him. And I don't think that the Yankees would bring him back if they didn't think that he has a voice in that clubhouse, that he has gravitas, that he's going to be the one who takes them to the promised land for the first time since, 2009.
Oh,
I mean, it's been a long time. No. I know you're joking, but
yes, I know for the Yankees that is a long time.
Saran, they've won one championship in the last 19 years. Like, that's a thing. That's a real thing. You know how much money the Yankees have spent over the course of those last two decades?
Less than they've made.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, when you go out there and you're spending, it's, you know, upward of $5 billion, like $5 billion with a B, and you have one championship to show for it. Eek! Like, that's not great, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I trust me, I'm with you. I do understand, and with the kind of investment they make, they expect better returns. And the fact that the Dodgers are having their heyday now, yeah, I'm sure Dodgers fans felt kind of the same way when the Yankees were rattling off what, 4 World Championships. You know, that was kind of like, well, wait a minute, why aren't we doing the same kind of thing? I do get it. We're talking to Jeff Passan here in the program as he is in the midst of the busiest month of every year for him. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You know what? If you have an urgent or orthopedic sports injury, the same experts that care for your Kansas City Chiefs, they can take care of you. The University of Kansas Health System has a Saturday morning walk-in clinic at 4:35 and all. Learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Jeff, I will start you with this. Let's update it. What's your World Series pick now?
Oh, man. Am I really going to stick with what I've had from the start?
I mean, they're still alive.
What I have from the start. They are. You know what? I'm going to stick with Dodgers, Astros, just because I want to be consistent.
Okay. LAD over Houston is what you're going with. Got it. Put it down. We'll see. They came back, like you said, last year. How long is Aaron Boone the manager of the Yankees?
Oh, man. You know, so much of that depends on what they're going to do this offseason. It's pretty clear they're going to go out and get a shortstop now, and I'm going to be very curious to see which shortstop it is, because the one who makes the most sense for them is Carlos Correa, but in New York, he is seen as a complete villain, so I don't know if he wants to go to New York. I don't know if the Yankees want to go sign him. The next best one is Corey Seager, and Corey Seager is a really good shortstop right now. He's also 6'4" and 220 pounds and getting older, and I don't know how long he stays at shortstop. Now, granted, the Yankees do have Anthony Volpe in their system, and he's a top 10 prospect in baseball, so there's a chance they can get Seager, play him for a year or two at short, and then shift him over to third. So I think that's probably the likeliest situation, but you've also got Marcus Simeon. You've also got Trevor Story. You've also got Javi Baez. There's a wealth of options for the Yankees, and someone is going to get very, very rich on Yankee money this winter.
And so Aaron Boone lasts how long?
Oh, yeah, I didn't answer the question. I think he lasts the whole contract.
Whole contract. Okay. I'll put it down. 3 years. Have you ever seen the national team play? We've got the women's national team playing soccer. We got a great weekend of sports here in Kansas City, as we've got NASCAR playoffs going on at the racetrack, and the women's national team is playing Korea tonight. Can't wait. Taking my daughter out to it. I'm very excited because I've never seen the national team play. You ever seen the men's or women's national team play?
On TV. I don't think that counts, though, does it?
No, it does not. It does not. Okay, good. I'll have one thing on Jeff Passan by the time this evening is over. Finally, how cooked are your Browns?
I haven't even been paying attention. I think they're 3-3 at this point, right?
3-3. Baker Mayfield not going to play. He's hurt. Nick Chubb ruled out already. Kareem Hunt out already. Tough times right now for your Brownies.
Ernest Johnson can play a little bit, and are they my Browns anymore?
They are. They're your Browns.
Like, dude, I'm a Chiefs season ticket holder. Like, does that buy me anything? Does that not count?
It does count. It counts for a lot, but you still have to wear this one. And because well, I asked the question.
Okay, hold on. So let's put it this way. I got Chiefs season tickets for the first time this season. And when they started losing, my eldest son said, "You are not allowed to be a fan anymore." Like, he said, I was bringing bad juju to the Chiefs, and I was not allowed to root for them because when I rooted for them, they started losing and Mahomes started throwing interceptions.
Very nice. Very nice. I appreciate him standing up for the local guys. Well done. Very impressive.
He's a terrible child. Don't even start with that. The worst.
Jeff, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Saran. Have a good one, buddy.
The Program with Saran Petro.
No, I'm not dense. I just have no imagination.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Saran Petro with the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They're in town tonight to take on Korea Republic. The match kicks off at 7 o'clock. Grab your friends. Grab your family. Grab your daughters. Grab the whole soccer team. I know there's a lot of soccer teams that are going to be out there. Children's Mercy Park, the place to see. Women's soccer, the greatest team in the world. The U.S. Women's National Team is in action tonight. Carly Lloyd's final game is tonight in Kansas City. Come on out to the match. I'll be there. I'll be leaving skid marks getting out of here. You can celebrate her legendary career and see the best team in the world take on the Korea Republic. Tickets are available at ussoccer.com. I'd get there quickly. I just got my tickets a day or two ago, that there are some pretty good seats, I think, that got released late. So if you want great seats, you can still get great seats. You just want the house. Of course, over at Children's Mercy Park, there ain't a bad seat in the house.
No, that's a perfectly constructed.
Yeah, it's a fantastic setup. So, ussoccer.com if you're looking for some tickets to go see a great match tonight. And, of course, today, a lot going on when it comes to the world of soccer. Literally, the world of soccer in town here today. Nate Buchady, of course, the man you hear every morning as part of the Border Patrol, along with his great work as the voice and face of Sporting Kansas City. Nate Buchady's with us here. Nate, how are you, buddy?
Well, I can tell you that I, along with several members of the Glowing Dragons, will be in attendance at the U.S. Women's National Team game tonight as well. So look out for some very loud 10-year-old girls in bright green jerseys.
I can speak to a contingent of 11-year-old girls that will be there as well. I don't know about jerseys because, you know, I'm working, so I'm not involved in the dressing of said girls, but I'm fired up, man. I am really excited to go to this. I've never seen a national team of any kind ever play, and U.S. women's soccer is by far the class of the world. I think this is a phenomenal opportunity.
Well, certainly. I mean, you mentioned Carly Lloyd. Obviously, she's one of the greatest soccer players in the history of the planet, men's or women's, and this is going to be her second-to-last game ever with the national team. So that's big right there. But players like Rose Lavelle, who is my favorite player to watch on the team, will be there as well. She's absolutely world-class. She's the most dynamic player in the world, in my opinion. She's just a joy to watch. Yeah, and also hey, nobody does civic pride like Kansas City, right? And the folks from FIFA, all 35 of them or however many there are here, will be there at Children's Mercy Park tonight. So we want to make sure that they see the kind of civic pride we have and that we'll all be there, you know?
Yeah, and they had a little tour today and basically were what, taking in the city and looking at what it would be like as a host town?
That's right. They're basically conducting all of their site visits to pick the 11 cities in the United States that are going to get to be hosts of the World Cup in 5 years and get matches in their hometown. And so today's Kansas City's day. They'll be packing up and going to Cincinnati, I believe it is, tomorrow. And we want them to leave here. And the way that one of the people that's been working on the bid from Kansas City's perspective put it to me was, we want them thinking about Kansas City the whole time they're in Cincinnati. I tell you what, Saran, I've talked to so many of the different people from the Kansas City Sports Commission, to Sporting Kansas City, to people in the mayor's office that have spent just hours and hours and weeks and years on getting ready for this moment because they know how important it is for the city. And I am really confident that they're doing a terrific job. Your guys from Joe's Kansas City Barbecue catered their lunch today.
Right.
And I talked to them a little bit. They decided to go family style. Every single meat that they offer was there for the folks from FIFA, and apparently the folks from FIFA brought up barbecue many times in advance that was one of the things they wanted to get the sample while they were here. But literally, I mean, I think every minute of today has been thought through and planned out as well as we could possibly hope as Kansas Cityans. That makes me feel pretty good about this whole process.
Yeah, and I know they had an event down at the P&L. We played a little bit in the Open, but one of the things that was said that I know you were down in attendance for was that size of market's not going to be everything, right?
Yeah, so the two people from FIFA, so the people they had up on the podium today or up on the stage in the KC Live for this news conference, you had all the local major sports owners, Clark Hunt, Cliff Hillig, John Sherman, Chris and Angie Long from KC WOSO were all there. The mayor was there. And then two representatives from FIFA, one being the CONCACAF president, who's also on the FIFA executive board. CONCACAF is our region here of the United States, North America, and the Caribbean and all that. Victor Montagliani, and then also the chief competitions and events officer of FIFA, Colin Smith. So the first voice you're going to hear is the CONCACAF president, Victor Montagliani. He's been here many times when the Gold Cup was here earlier this year, things like that. And he was the one that was asked about size of the city, because that's one thing we can't control, right? We can put our best foot forward all we want. We can't all of a sudden make 2 million more people show up here in Kansas City. He said the size of the market is not that important.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get that corrected. We have it, I know, somewhere. We'll see if we can find the cut. But I know, because I know we have it, because I know it was in the Open. I heard it a little bit earlier in there. So we will – do we have it now? All right, here he is. Size of the market, not that important.
It's not about your size. It's about the size of your heart. And the reality is that you know, Kansas City, you know, obviously has a stadium, has, you know, a region that is – crazy about the game. And if you look at other World Cups in the past, you know, not every venue has been, you know, a major world capital city, I guess, if you want to answer your question. There's been others, you know, you always have a lot of venues. You know, if you look at the last World Cup in Russia, not every game was played in Moscow. You had cities that you never heard of in your life before, right? So, you know, a World Cup, you need everything. You need every size, and that's the beauty about the World Cup. That it's really for everybody.
All right, I'll take that.
I like that.
It's really for everybody. I mean, do we buy it, or is he just play into the room?
Probably a little bit of both. I do think that what he talked about, when you look at the cities in Brazil a couple of cycles ago, in Russia in the last cycle, they did not go just with the most major metropolitan areas in those countries. They wanted to spread the thing around a little bit. And that's one of the things that I was curious about, because I know one of the things that the bid committee here in Kansas City is really trying to sell is the geographical advantages of playing in Kansas City. The fact that Kansas City is a three-hour flight from everywhere in the country. It's not that hard to get to. And one of the things they really want to sell is, you know, FIFA talks a lot about how they want to make they want to grow the game. They want to bring it to places it hasn't been before. They want to bring it to people that haven't had a chance to see it before. And the last time the World Cup was here, Chicago was the closest place to Kansas City that the World Cup came. Chicago's not in this running this time around. And one of the things, the statistics that I had thrown at me was, Kansas City is a one-day drive from 55 million people in the Midwest who could come here to watch games. And when it's an event that big, they will drive to come here. And I asked the chief competitions and events officer Colin Smith about that, the importance of geography when it comes to this equation.
One of the key things that we look at when we start developing match schedules for the World Cup, and obviously the match schedule is a core document, and whilst we haven't obviously chosen the cities, we still look at the geographic spread. Now, when we look at US, Canada, and Mexico, the geographic spread is obviously large. One of the key areas we look at is the team travel, you know, and the quality of team travel, so that one team is not traveling huge distances and other teams are playing locally. So that's where a spread across the country is always beneficial, because it allows us to have clusters in and around different areas within the country, and to ensure that the fan base is there, that we don't overload certain areas.
but also specifically that the teams have an equal and accessible travel facilities.
I think that does bode well. I mean, I think from a fairness standpoint, like, I don't think you want to make somebody go New York to L.A. and back to New York, you know, like, or New York, L.A., Miami. Being able to have one of your stops be in Kansas City, I think will make it easier. And Nate, what does the training facility do? Like, how much of a leg up does that give Kansas City that there is world-class facilities to train at so that when there are these layovers, you know, teams aren't just at, you know, some rickety park?
I think that, in my opinion, Saran, I'll be stunned if a couple of countries, and I don't know how many, but multiple countries do not pick Kansas City to be their home base during the World Cup, regardless of whether or not we get games here because of the facility. I remember back when the United States played in Brazil in the World Cup two cycles ago, one that Matt Beasler played in. The United States decided to make their camp in Sao Paulo, Brazil, even though all of their games were in the northern part of the country, like a good three-hour flight away from Sao Paulo. So they had to fly back and forth because they couldn't find any places in northern Brazil where they felt like they could have the access to all of the amenities at the hotel and the training facilities that they wanted. Kansas City is going to get teams that want to stay here even if they don't play games here because the facilities are better than any other facilities in the country. And so I think that has to help. I mean, does it get us the bid? I don't know about that. I think at the very least we're going to have teams training here, but what we really want is games here. I think the facilities, I think the ease of getting around the city, and I do think the proximity. If because a lot of times, like, I think another part of the factor for the United States was they set up in Sao Paulo before they knew where their games were going to be. Well, Kansas City is a great spot to set up because no matter where your games end up, it's not that far to get there from Kansas City. And I think that that's big for the fans. And, see, I was talking about it from the fans' perspective when I asked Mr. Smith the question. He answered it more from the team standpoint, that it's beneficial for them to have a place that's centrally located. So I think on both sides, that's a positive for Kansas City.
And, of course, 2026, when we're talking about for this, so the airport will be done. Right, because and this was actually one of the inspirations to get the airport going, was to know that you had to get that done, and not done like 20 minutes before they get here, had to get it done before you start asking the whole world to come here. That was a vital piece. You talk about the mayor being involved. The actual infrastructure is important as well.
Big time. That was when they did their initial kind of surveys of the city, the things they said that we needed to get better at. We didn't have a five-star hotel in Kansas City. They got one up there at the Lowe's downtown. That's where they're all staying. We didn't have as good an infrastructure when it comes to transportation. They're expanding the streetcar. That'll help a little bit, but we're obviously going to have to bring buses in and things like that to help, you know, mitigate that. And then obviously the airport. And what's great is when they flew in here last night, they saw the new airport coming up. It's not just a dream with renderings where you could say, oh, this is going to be the airport someday. They can see the structure. And obviously, the big hustle for the airport is the NFL draft. And so if they're going to make sure they get that thing done before the NFL draft, then it's really going to be done before the World Cup. You don't have to worry about that at all. So I think that's a big problem. Like, there's certain problems we can't solve. Like, if we talk about market size, if it matters that much, we can't just make 2 million people move here. But we can solve some of those problems, like the hotels, like the airport, and I think we've really done that.
And so what do you think? How's it going? Give me the gauge on how you think today went and is. I mean, it's still ongoing, I believe. So, because it's going to go all the way tonight to the U.S. Women's National Team game. How do you think it's going so far?
I was asked this by Harold Kuntz down at the P&L because he was trying to get a gauge on it. And I said, I will be surprised if Kansas City doesn't get it. I'm not saying I'll be stunned because we know how these types of situations work. But I feel confident. First of all, I'll tell you what I'm supremely confident in, and that's the people that are putting on this tour from Kansas City's perspective. I know a lot of them personally. I ran into a lot of them down there. I had a chance to talk to Clark Hunt and Cliff Illig today while we were getting ready for the news conference. They were telling me how things were going. These are people and the people that work for them who think of everything. I mean, they have planned out every minute of this trip, and I find it hard to believe that any other city's doing a better job of that. Little details like that big banner that everybody's seen that says we want the World Cup, that's hanging from the side of the building downtown. It's that massive banner. They made sure to put every one of these FIFA executives in a hotel room at the Lowe's where their windows face that banner, so that when they woke up and looked out their windows, that's what they saw. Every single little detail of their day has been planned out like that. I know they took the FIFA execs that went to tour Arrowhead Stadium. They sat them on the field, and they put them in VR headsets, virtual reality headsets, so they could look around the stadium and see and feel what it's like to be in a packed Arrowhead Stadium, not just sitting in an empty one. I'm so confident that we've put our best foot forward here. Now, does that guarantee we get the bid? Of course not. But man, I'll be surprised if it doesn't make a big difference. I think we're going to get it. I really do.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. We got a great event tonight with the U.S. Women's National Team. We hope everybody comes out. If you're sitting around, not sure what you're going to do tonight, ussoccer.com. Get you some tickets right now to come see the U.S. Women's National Team. And then hopefully we're getting ready in, what, 5 years for because what time of year would it be? We're gonna go in the winter with the next one, but we'll be back to the summer events, right?
In June, yeah. So June in 2026. Here's the last thing I thought about, Seren. If they're going to Cincinnati next, these guys will have gone from eating Joe's Kansas City barbecue to eating Skyline chili. I mean, how could we lose?
Boy. You never want to follow a better comedian or a better rock star. Man, how do you follow Joe's City Barbecue?
Yeah, you can't.
When you follow that garbage chili. Oh.
Yeah, chili on noodles. Have at it, boys. Nate, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Hopefully I see you tonight at the match.
Sounds good. Let's go.
All right, Nate Buchanan does a great job on the Border Patrol, does a great job for Sporting Kansas City, the voice, the face. Sporting Kansas City, Nate Buchanan, now the voice of Fox One Soccer, has doing a lot more national games, is Nate Buchanan. Does a fantastic job in the play-by-play realm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to hear our picks. Our program picks are coming up next. Also, your chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Little Stump the Chumps coming your way. Our buddy Peter Yates Enoch will join us. We'll get you the program picks. And then play Stump the Chumps. Get your questions ready. Let's go. It's a beautiful Thursday. Be a part of the program.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Let's say le bon ton roulet.
All right, how many players have had 2 4-hit games in the same postseason series? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.